come up at night. You know, it's just captivating to me. I don't know what it is, but it was orange Friday night. And now, of course, I've never been to the moon. I've never been to the sun. But I looked at that and I thought, wow, how beautiful God created this universe to be. But that moon has no light of its own. You know that. You've heard this before. It is purely a reflection of the sun. If the sun stopped, the moon would stop. And with that in mind, I want to invite you to look at God's word in Ephesians chapter 5. We had a lot of text we're going to read, but I don't think it'll take a ton of time. But he says in verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What we find in those two verses is the call to walk. To walk how? To walk in love. To be reflections of Christ's love. And we do that not because we're trying to earn or somehow merit his love for us, but because he created us and called us and saved us to be able to reflect his love and grace. And to imitate him, to look like him, to act like him. And when you think about the connection that we have with Christ, it makes, I think, perfect sense. Because we are called to be what? Followers of his children. We're also called to be his brothers, his sisters in Christ. To be part of the family. And to be with him. And we're adopted into the family. We become connected to him. And so flowing from that commitment is this idea that in that process, we become more and more like Christ. Now, that obviously the analogy of the moon and the sun breaks down because the moon doesn't become more and more like the sun. But without the sun, it doesn't exist. And he uses some interesting imagery here. Did you notice it right at the end of verse 2? He says, we're a fragrant and offering and sacrifice to God. We don't do a lot of the incense stuff. Well, we don't do any of it in our tradition, but in Judaism and even in many Christian groups, they will have incense that they burn. They will have perfumes that they have in the building. The building has an interesting fragrance. And that's what we're called to be, to reflect the Son of Christ, the light of Christ, to reflect his presence, to reveal his love, and to almost kind of just smell like him. And we walk in his love. But how do we do that? And he goes on and kind of gives a list here. And let's just walk through it for the sake of time fairly quickly. But look here, he says, we do it by living with godly purity. Look at verse 3. He says this, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be named among you as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. The thought here is that when we walk in his love, we begin to look different. We begin to act different. We begin to smell different in a good way. Ephesus was the location of a pagan temple to the pagan god Bacchus. Bacchus was the god of wine. It's where we get the English word debauchery, debaucherous, from. And what they would do is they would use wine in the worship services to their pagan god, and they would drink so much they would become toasted, as we might say in our day, intoxicated. And they would lose control. They would lose their inhibitions. They would do some pretty crazy things in their services. And what Paul is saying to these believers living at Ephesus is, that's not you any longer, because you're reflecting Jesus. This means you won't be involved in sexual immorality. You won't be involved in impurity. You won't be involved in covetousness. Those things just kind of fade away. They go away. These are areas that we're called to be pure in. Because when a follower of Christ participates in those kind of things, what we do, and let's be honest, sometimes we do things like that, don't we? We drag the presence of Christ into that moment. He says, In addition to that, don't have filthiness. Don't have foolish talk. Don't have crude. You won't have that stuff. We think, oh, that's a modern thing. No, there's ancient references to this kind of stuff. If you go look, it's out there. It's been there. This is not a new invention. And Paul makes it plain and clear that God's people, this stuff shouldn't be. In fact, he would say it wouldn't be. He talks about sexual ethics here. Because those things don't just dirty the body, they dirty the soul. He goes on in verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Don't be a partner with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to God." I think the thought he's trying to convey, if you're trying to sum it up, is the idea that we speak with a godly clarity. Don't be a partner with those who would lie. Don't hang out with those who would deceive. Why? There's people who are not of God. Be careful who you associate with, is what his call is. Because the children of darkness are not like the children of light. The children of darkness have not been set free from the darkness which was part of us before we came into Christ. And what he's talking about, I think, ultimately, is how we speak in life. Now you're thinking, okay, he's talking about words. Yes. But more than words, he's talking about how we carry ourselves, the way we act, the way we behave, the attitudes we express, sometimes non-verbally. I used to call that our demeanor or our deportment, or that's an old word, isn't it? How we carried ourselves. Because when you have the light being reflected in you of Christ, like the moon reflects the sun, you're going to reflect not the ugliness of who you are, but the beauty of who he is. And we will speak in a way, live in a way, operate in a way that is to him. Then we're also going to exist in godly light. Verse 11, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light," but you notice the light theme keeps growing through this whole passage, "it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." He says, go beyond just living pure and speaking clear, but to be people who are existing in his light. You know, often we have a tendency to try to separate the things of God from life. And I don't see a division in Scripture, especially in this passage, where we can say, well, I'm going to do the God stuff and then I'm going to do the Patrick stuff. It's all supposed to be the same. We're not supposed to just really walk and live and speak, but to actually exist there, to live there. And he's not saying you have a private life of morality and a public life of immorality, or vice versa, whichever we're going to look at. But he says what you do is who you are in Christ, and Christ reveals in you in every step of the way. And you speak the truth into the culture. Speaking the truth in love can get you labeled pretty quickly if you're not careful. But see, Paul gets it. There's a difference between dark and light. There's a difference between being light and reflecting light. But the reflection that we have is going to show it. You know, light's kind of important. If you don't believe that, take a potted plant from your porch and put it in a dark closet for about a month. It won't look pretty at the end of the month, will it? You probably don't have to wait a month to get it to look ugly. And that's what happens when we're not existing in his light. When we don't walk in his light, when we don't live in his light, we don't speak his light and love, we're not existing there. We become people who are not moral like he wants us to be, and we become dark. And we don't reflect his light any longer. And then ultimately you will do this. You will rejoice in the new life. Look at verse 15. "Look carefully then how you walk. Not as wise, unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time." Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, and submit to each other out of reverence. He says, rejoice in that. When I sit there in the stands Friday night and watch that moon come up, y'all are going to think I'm weird. Well, I got to go, oh, that's cool. I got excited. I leaned over to Heather and I said, oh, look at the moon. Look at the moon. She goes, where? Because it was just barely peeking out over the ag building, the current ag building over there. You could just see it coming up. Of course, it rose as the game went on. There ought to be joy in our lives, right? Because of the things that we see, that what God is doing in our lives, the presence he has in our lives. And we live in a way that we're not looking for relevance in a bottle, but we're looking for relevance in the Spirit. I always find it fascinating they call alcohol spirits. That's not the Spirit I want. Is it yours? That's the Spirit of God is what we want, right? And then he says, sing to each other. I won't. But we do it with a lightness of heart. That there's that presence and that joy and that peace and that love, and that's the thing he calls us to. So let me try to apply this. I know there's a lot of text here. We could have spent weeks in this chapter alone, but that wasn't our intent this fall. Our intent was to look at the big picture. I want you to see three thoughts that I had from this. If you claim to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by Christ, is this world your home? We live in it, right? I hear the songs of patriotism and my heart just goes, oh, and I get weepy-eyed. I get weepy-eyed at the national anthem and all that. But I got to tell you, as much as I love this life, and I love being around the people in my life, this world's not my home, is it? I need to rejoice in this idea. So that means I'm going to stand apart from the world. And you're going, what do you mean? Yesterday, I think I shared with y'all last week, I was going to attend a funeral yesterday, and I was able to make it down there. And I walked in. I got to see my buddy. His mother passed away. I saw his dad, and I recognized them. I saw some folks from when I was a kid who were older than me, 10 or 15 years older than me in life. And we get to visit him a little bit. And then in comes this guy that you know, you remember in school you had those people you were never really – okay, you weren't close to at all. You can't even say it wasn't really close. You weren't. I mean, you saw him and you go, oh, they're in my class. Great. That's it. He was close friends with the friend of mine that I went to be there with. And he walked in and I recognized him. He was older than he used to be. I don't know what happened to him, but he had a bunch of gray hair. And he was a little heavier than in high school. We'll just leave it at that. I don't know what happened to him. But anyway. Well, we get to talking. And we weren't friends in school. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there were people you went to school with that you weren't friends with. Not because you hated them, because you didn't have a connection with them, right? And so we get to talking and we say, he started talking about what he was doing and what he had done. He was already retired. He's a lot older than me. And he taught school for 30-something years, and he's retired now, and he's driving a school bus in the morning and the afternoon. And I go, man, that's cool. And then he says, now, what did you do? And I said, well, I'm pastoring a church, trying to pastor a church. He said, Oh, awkward, right? But listen, there should be something in our lives, not being a pastor, but in our lives being a follower of Jesus, that sets us apart, that makes us not odd, but unique. And that's what he's talking about in chapter 5. He says, all of this stuff that I'm saying, this is what your life's going to look like. Ephesian church, you're used to going to the temple of Bacchus. You're used to going there and getting blasted. You're used to going there and being sexually perverse and doing crazy stuff in worship of all places. And that's not you anymore. And church, that's not us anymore. We're supposed to stand apart. Our thinking changes, our desires change, our passions are reordered. What's important to us is different and has all kinds of ramifications for how we live. Listen to what Paul told the church at Rome about this. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We reflect his light. And people ought to notice. Number two, because we're doing that, here's what should happen, is we should bless God with our lives. Now you're thinking, well, God doesn't need me to have him bless him, does he? No. But he wants you to. He wants your life to be so in tune with him that your actions, your words, your thoughts bless God. In the process, this means we reflect godliness in our thinking, our speech, our ethics, our action, and we live in a way that we are more likely to bless God. And our public lives are the same as our private lives. Y'all remember in high school, I guess they still read this book, The Scarlet Letter. I don't remember what year it was, but we read The Scarlet Letter. And I remember the story about Hester Prynne, I think was her name. And I don't remember the preacher's name. But if you know the story, they were having things they shouldn't be doing. And she got caught. I always find that interesting. And she had to wear the letter. But he was the preacher, the pastor of that congregation. And he had been living an inconsistent life. And it literally, if I remember the story correctly, tore him up. And he began to hurt himself and to do things that were not good. And I want you to understand that that should never be our story. That we're one way in public and a whole different way in private. Because when you are, you're not going to bless God. But if you are consistent, you will bless God. And you will be able to say things like the psalmist wrote. He says, I will extol you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever. My prayer for you is this, is that your public life matches your private life, and your private life matches your public life, and all your life blesses God. Then there's one more principle here I want you to see, and we're going to have a little fun here this morning. There's a principle about godly control. Now, when I was 7, my mother told me I was going to take piano lessons. She told me I was going to take piano lessons, okay? I was stoked. I was excited, okay? Good for her. So 3 weeks later when I quit... Just honesty. I had learned so much about the piano. I was now an expert, let me tell you. I knew that it was either painted or it had stained wood. It had legs. It had wheels. Sometimes you can move the thing because they're kind of heavy. I figured that out. Inside it has strings. It has hammers that hit on it. And I remembered every good boy does fine. Y'all know that one? Is that the right one? Is that the melody or the harmonies? Oh, it's one side of the scale. So anyway, I want to share with you my amazing skill this morning. No, really, I am. You ready? Okay, here we go. Here we go. You ready? All right. So there's middle C. Middle C. There it is. Y'all impressed? There's a point to this, so hang in there with me. So that's C. That means this was D, right? No. Yeah, is that right? At the white one, right? The second white one. D, D. Okay. Then we get what? E, E. I'm going to stop. I started out too high. Did y'all enjoy my song? I need help is what I need. I need help. I need help. Come on up here, sister. I need help.
Bless your heart.
Come on. Have a seat. Have a seat right here. You don't have a microphone, so hush. All right. So I am not an expert at piano. Y'all agree? Okay, I got it. However, we know somebody who is. Okay? So is this our last song?
There's an invitation song.
That's right, the last song, yeah, okay. Before the end, yeah. It's called, bifocals, Footsteps of Jesus. What's the first note? Is that a?
G.
A G, okay. That's the C, right?
Yes,
C, D, E, F, G. Got it. Y'all are laughing for, I don't know why. Listen, what I'm trying to help you understand is I can know a lot about this instrument. These are ivory. These are whatever they are, black. I don't know what they're made out of.
Plastic, probably.
Probably plastic, yeah. It's kind of helpful to have one of these up in front of you if you can read this stuff. If not, it's like, I know the words. And you're going, what's the point? Here it is. Here's the point. If we're going to live a life for God that blesses Him and honors Him and reflects Him, we got to let Him lead us. Because if He's not leading, no, if He's not leading, what are we doing? We can apply that in a lot of ways. See, the older I get, the more I realize the less time I got, the less time you got. It happens fast, doesn't it? You look up and you go, how did Dad get in the picture? It's all stuck together this morning. It's a mess.
Okay.
I don't know. She can show it to me on the screen. Yeah, I walked into that church yesterday, and one of them said, I knew it was your dad. I knew who you were. And I said, how'd you know? He says, you look like your daddy. You talk like your daddy. You have bad humor like your daddy. I wonder why that is. Could be what? Because he's my daddy. And we reflect our father. Show me that last verse, Donna. I couldn't get my notes to open up. Scriptures tell us in Psalm what? Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. Now, Susan, show us how to play this song as we begin our time of invitation, okay?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. Father God, we do thank You that You want to lead us. You don't save us to just leave us. You call us into an intimacy with You that changes us from the inside out. And Father, I pray that You would help us to understand what Paul is writing to that church, that when they're in Christ, they're not going to fit in to the Ephesian culture any longer. They're going to stick out like a sore thumb. And the only way that happens is when You lead. So, Father, help us to follow You, the footsteps of Jesus. Let us reflect Your presence. Let us reflect Your love. Let us look like You, as You're our daddy. I pray, God, that You'll help us to respond this morning as You would see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd invite you to join us and sing with this song.